The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this July 31st, 2025. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this July 31st, the final day of July. Can you believe it? The summer is almost over. No, I'm kidding. It's not going anywhere, weather-wise anyway, around here in Auburn, Alabama. But yes, August 1 is tomorrow. Payday's tomorrow. Some people have that day circled. Me, I'm one of those people. But football season is here. Fall practice has begun. High school practices begin next week around here. And so, my goodness, do we have a lot to talk about on the show this afternoon. Before we get into all that, Christian, how are you, sir? Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Yeah, you mentioned people circling that August 1st date for the 1st of August. Obviously, payday. Parents realizing that their kids go back to school on that day. And so, because, gosh, I mean, it's what, the 5th that we were talking with a couple buddies that...
Yeah, they go back to school next week.
Next, like, Wednesday or Thursday. So maybe that's what you're looking forward to when you see the calendar flip over to August just a little bit. But on our side of things, man, high school football, college football, just Auburn football, everything, man. You feel like you have everything to look forward to, and I guess every day is closer to it cooling down a little bit, maybe. We hope so.
Nah, it ain't happening.
It didn't rain yesterday between 2 and 3. We didn't talk about that.
Yep, so that means hurricane coming through today.
Probably so. But no, a very, very fun show that we have on set for you here today. We're going to start off talking a little bit about the College Sports Commission, as you feel like there's something new that we're learning just about every single day. They went ahead and made some more updates. We're going to dive into those here in just a little bit. Also, a little conversation on Jackson Arnold on the confidence side of things. Again, everybody has seen the comments and the quotes from Hugh Freeze and DJ Durkin about taking it a little bit easy, making sure that he can build that confidence and the excitement that you have for the season. But when you're looking at some Heisman numbers, you feel like the confidence is growing in Jackson Arnold as well. So we're going to talk all about that. Before we get with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network, we get to welcome him back to the phone lines here on ESPN. We're going to get his thoughts on fall camp, some of the biggest questions that he has, also how he's seen Nike just kind of take off in the athletic department, and then obviously want his thoughts on Baylor now being a favorite in Waco and what the biggest threat is for Auburn on that August 29th date. All of that coming up here in hour number one.
Mm-hmm.
Almost read my hour number two, but no, hour number one, and then the weekend of September 27th. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but man, how that is going to be an absolutely electric weekend. We're going to talk all about that here in hour number one.
Yep, we got a lot to get to. Couple of guests today. So around those guests, phone lines are open if you'd like to be a part of the show. If you've seen or heard or read anything from fall practice, we want to hear from you. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. You could call in, be a part of the show, be on the line, talk about what we're talking about, talk about anything you want to talk about. Any of that that's on your mind, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Or you can always shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box. That seems to be a popular thing right now with us. It's 334-784-1067. That's 784-1067. And we begin today's show with some news that came out earlier today. ESPN put together a really good article. Dan Murphy wrote this on the national ESPN website. And it's about the CSC, the College Sports Commission. It says the CSC has loosened prohibition on NIL payments. And the first couple of paragraphs of this are really, really good because I'll be honest, he explains it better than most people probably could. And so I want to read some of this to you and then we'll kind of react to this. So he says, this is from the article, okay, the College Sports Commission has loosened its blanket prohibition on athletes receiving payments from NIL collectives, according to a memo they sent out to athletic directors on Thursday morning. He talks about the collectives, right, an evolving industry built to funnel money to athletes at a particular school will still face significantly more scrutiny when trying to sign deals with players than they had in the past. But what this memo is from today, he goes on, he says it revises guidance that it issued just 3 weeks ago, and it ends the first notable scuffle under the industry's new enforcement structure without needing to return to a courtroom. So what it says is, and the question will be, will wealthy teams and their boosters still be able to game the system designed to create competitive balance? He says that the new rules say that athletes and collectives will now have to show that each deal they sign requires the athlete to promote a product or service that is being sold to make a profit rather than just being a vehicle to channel money from the boosters to the athletes. Collective might need to show documentation of the entity's effort to profit from the deal, according to the memo. So you can now make money in two ways, he says, and then we'll react to it. Via direct payments from their school and through endorsement contracts with third parties. That is what this memo says. That's what all of this came out this morning and was sent directly to the inbox of every athletics director in the country. Athletes can now make money via direct payments from the school, aka collectives, or you can make NIL money through endorsements with third-party companies. Your thoughts on this retraction that the CSC came out with today?
Is that the word that
I think that's what I'm going with.
What we need to use?
Yeah, that's the word I'm going with.
My first initial thought when I read it this morning, you know the LeBron gif or jif of him standing on the court and, you know, acting scared, doing the, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, that's essentially what I took from this. It's basically saying that, yeah, you have to show that there's a reason for this. There has to be some sort of profit value. And so whether that is an Auburn player wearing a Nike shirt now and then being able to attract them to the Nike site and everything like that. But you feel like you also read that this is the first disagreement mm-hmm. without requiring everybody to go to courts. And whenever you hear the first rather than this allows you to not have to go to courts, you know that there's stuff coming
right
in the future. And it goes back to the same questions that you had when before the president got involved. It was still that, well, how is anything like that going to be monitored? Now, when that question came up, it was, how is everything going to still be monitored? And then even with this, it is, okay, how are you going to be able to truly prove, right? It is now a case-by-case evaluation, right? You feel like nothing whatsoever can go wrong. If they're looking at your NIL things versus my NIL, and they say no to yours but yes to mine, there's no way that there could be any sort of trouble that comes out of that. You just feel like they're running in place right now. I feel like that's easiest way to describe it is you're sitting there running in quicksand and you feel like you take one step forward and it might not be two steps back, but you're definitely not truly gaining anything because although pay to play is still prohibited, or I guess is now still prohibited, these loosened rules basically create all of these creative structural ways for these big time companies to still continue paying these players without any sort of violations.
Yeah, this article goes on to, and again, I highly recommend anybody go and listen to this. Again, it's from the ESPN article about the College Sports Commission's memo that they sent out today. He goes on to talk about the fact that all of these deals have to be, and talking third-party deals with third-party entities, right? Because the salary cap is still there in terms of the revenue sharing, that $20.5 million that can go directly from the school to an athlete, right? Auburn can pay a quarterback certain amount of money, right? We talked about how they're going to split all this revenue up and how they're going to share it across the several major sports. I think 21 sports are at Auburn. But this is talking about the other money that is going to be used. And he has a really good term here. It says, in an effort to keep teams from using their collectives to circumvent the $20.5 million spending cap, a.k.a. go over, go around, avoid, right? It's talking about these deals that have to be confirmed as a valid business purpose and fall within a reasonable range of compensation. He says this. A $1 million deal for a player to make a few social media posts, for example, will not be allowed. So this commission, this CSC, and all these different NIL Go and whatever, yeah, and whatever they're going to use, they will have a job and a role and a say in all of this, which on the forefront is good. That makes sense, right? There's a group in place that says, hey, Ohio State or Oregon or Bama or Florida State or whoever, no, you cannot have a car dealership or a clothing store come in and pay a five-star linebacker $5 million and all he does is come in and wear your shirt once a week on campus. That's not good enough. On the forefront, that agency makes sense. That is a perfect checks and balance for what this situation has become with NIL, right? Sure. But that's in a perfect world. That's the problem.
That's with no Louis bags under the beds or in the closets with the McDonald's that just happens to be sitting on the nightstand.
That works in a perfect world. But as everybody knows, we don't live in a perfect world. And the concern for me still remains the same. Who are they talking about this separate entity, right? This governing body, basically, this governing office. Who are they to say what's legit and what's not? This says, again, $1 million deal for a player to make a few social media posts won't be allowed. He's claiming that that won't get through. But why? Says who? Says you? Says me? Says them? But that's where this all comes back to what we talked about with lawsuits out the wazoo. Mm-hmm. Sue to oblivion. Because they'll hire lawyers, they'll claim that it did make them money. Now, it does talk about in here having to prove documentation. I wonder if that means it has to be tracked. Do you have to legitimately track your ROI on these NIL investments from third-party businesses? And if so, how in the world do you do that?
And then there's another three-letter company that's going to walk in and be like,
you better believe it.
You're yeah, making money.
Yeah,
huh?
You better believe it. They have their hands all over that. Are you kidding me?
Some of that over
I'm
here.
I'm sorry, did you say profit?
Yes.
Yeah, did you say money income? Hold on now. Here comes the IRS.
Let us know if you have thoughts on this. 331 or 32334. Whoa, here we go. Let us know if you have thoughts on that. 334-321-1390. Essentially what the CSC was trying to stop was collectives offering guaranteed NIL deals before recruits committed or enrolled. Basically, deals that have absolutely zero promotional value, going off the example that Jacob used, which is $200,000 for a social media post, clearly just showing the incentives to sign. Right?
Yeah, we checked the box.
Go show your recruitment picture, your official visit picture of you playing pool in our little room and everything like that. What's now being allowed with these quote-unquote guardrails is collectives still can fund these athletes, even recruits, if the deal has real business value, is for the fair market value, and is submitted and vetted through NIL Go. So it's saying that, yes, an athlete could be told, you're likely to get this deal right here, but it cannot be essentially pre-negotiated promise or inducement. So when you're looking at it right here, when you're thinking about the real world, yes, if everything is a perfect world, anything that has a dollar sign attached to a commit or a player, and you would hope that that's kind of the way that it would go, in fear of, man, if we don't do this, they're going to come back and you could get severe punishments or whatever the case may be, because, you know, that's what they always choose to attack, which is, you know, really the right way of going about it. But you're looking at all of this, and it just makes it where you feel like there's so much gray area. You feel like there's absolutely no way. Again, going back to the real world, it's like servers, right? Where you don't have to log your cash tips versus anything like that. I know we do that, but it's the way that...
I always did it.
Yeah, right, and I always do as well. But that's kind of the example, right? These schools, oh, well, yeah, my credit card tips, I logged, right? And that's perfectly fine, but, you know, this one table did tip me a 20, and, you know, I'll just slide that to the player, but, you know, we're not gonna track that, right? And
right.
We won't get in trouble.
Yeah, well, the more I looked into this earlier today and just kind of trying to wrap my head around, again, the CSC, the College Sports Commission, has released a memo sent to every athletic director in the country this morning in college athletics about what the structure is going to be, what the process will look like for any individual athlete in college athletics to make money in college. There's the NIL route. Well, I guess it's all technically NIL. There's the revenue sharing route. And then there's third-party entity route, right? You can get paid by the school from revenue sharing, or you can strike a deal with a third-party company for your name, image, and likeness.
And the revenue sharing has no say in this. That's
they
the
are
complete,
separate. Correct.
Complete other side. That is not any part of the conversation right
this
now. That
is
essentially guaranteed.
These are third-party deals.
Yes.
That's what this is. This is third-party deals. And from what I can see and from what I can tell and hear, every single deal that gets made, doesn't matter if you play football, volleyball, soccer, swim and dive, track and field, lacrosse, does not matter. Any athlete that makes a deal with a third-party company for whatever their return investment is, right, whatever they sign the agreement to do, autographs, photos, whatever the case may be, every single third-party NIL deal has to run through NIL Go. Individually, there's no set algorithm that just the computer doesn't make this judgment call, a group of people do. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
I don't know how to feel.
When you're looking at some of the top athletes in the country, you take Arch Manning, for example, and we've used the Red Bull example, right? I mean, say that they want to post a picture of him and want him to do the same, and he has Red Bull in his bio and things like that. Who's to say if Red Bull tries to do this and NIL Go denies it, that Red Bull is sitting there, well, it's our money. Why are you saying we can't do this for this player if we have good in it as well?
Look at DJ Lagway, for example, on Instagram. He has over 100,000 followers on his Instagram account. Any business can give him $1 million and say, well, we, by our calculations, get ready for that. That's going to be in every contract and every defense in this lawsuit craze. And based on our calculations, him making a post once a week about our apparel brand is going to bring us money to pay that back.
That, or even just the simple route of, oh, okay, well, look, since he made this post, our sales haven't increased, but look, we've gained 13,000 followers. You're telling me that that's not indirect revenue?
Our website traffic is
party,
up or whatever.
Right.
I mean, and that's what I was talking about. They're going to have to, they lay it out here. These companies are going to have to prove that. They're going to have to put out paperwork, I would assume, before, during, and after this entire process. But at what point do you fudge that, or do you track that, or how do you track what was a successful NIL investment? Because crazy enough, not every investment comes out positive in anything in life. Just look at the stock market. That's what this is. Not every investment comes out green, does it? You lose money sometimes in investments, and I'm sure everybody listening has been in that scenario where you've invested in something, whatever it was, and you've lost money. How can NIL go before, during, or after say, yeah, that's not going to work, that's not legitimate, we don't believe you? I really struggle to find where they're going to be able to do this and enforce this. And the fact that it's not going through a computer algorithm, it's going to be handled individually by a group of people from a company that currently right now, according to this article, Christian, has three employees. Three people are employed by this NIL Go company.
I mean, we've seen the benefit of people versus computers in the college football playoff, right?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves it, as far as I know.
That's the direct comparison as well.
Yeah, people aren't biased computers. At all. No.
Yeah, we went away from computers, went to people, and now there's no sort of argument whatsoever.
I would like to recommend the athletic directors from Ohio State, Oregon, and Alabama be hired by NIL Go. Make sure that they get a job offer for this. I'd love for them to be on this committee to make sure that we have fairness in this room that won't have any repercussions.
And borderline to have more power.
Yeah. I mean, to go ahead and throw a couple of university presidents in there, too, just to make sure. If a head coach really wants to be on this commission, I understand. I think he should get the job.
Just wait, man. Wait till we essentially have the exact same, you and me, the same exact deal, but my lawyer is just a little bit smarter and words it a little bit smarter to where those people don't understand it. They deny yours, accept mine.
Oh, gosh.
And all hell breaks loose.
Oh, it's going to be a disaster. Here's this quote from the CSC, the College Sports Commission CEO, that we'll leave you with as we go to break. In this memo that they sent out on Thursday to the athletic directors across college athletics, this is from the CEO, Brian Seely, of the College Sports Commission.
Is he one of the three employees?
Probably. He says, quote, pay for play will not be permitted, and every NIL deal done with a student athlete must be a legitimate deal, not pay for play in disguise.
Ooh. Ooh.
334-321-1390. We want to hear from you. Give us your thoughts. You can shoot us a text as well, 784-1067 in the on-the-line text box. We'll take our first break here in hour number one.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes in this segment before we get to our bottom of the hour break, where we'll have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network join us coming up at 2:30. And we weren't quite going this direction, but somebody texted in, and I'm glad they did, because we are going to go this direction for the next couple of minutes. And in terms of this CSC memo and stuff, somebody texted in and said to the text box at 334-784-1067, and says, what's going to happen when these student, quote, student athletes...
That word still comes first?
Well, he at least put it in quotations.
Okay, there we go.
What happens when these student athletes go on a strike and hold college football hostage, hold the entire college football world hostage because of the CSC declining their third-party NIL deals? And my reaction that is, we haven't even thought about that.
It'll be lockouts. NHL lockouts.
Which have happened over the entire history of professional athletics. Doesn't happen often. I'd say, on average, probably once every 10 years across one of the four major sports.
Baseball's nearing one now with exactly the conversation we had with Bryce Harper and Manfred.
I think the NHL was the last professional league to do it. But regardless, I haven't even thought about that. And I think that is a serious issue coming down the tracks. But my question with that is, and I know you have a response too, is let's say for whatever reason there's some big brand, a car wash brand, wants to quote-unquote hire all the quarterbacks in the SEC to promote their brand, right? But the College Sports Commission says, no, we don't think that's a legitimate deal. We don't think that's going to work, or whatever the case may be, right? And these quarterbacks or this one set of players on a team or whatever, right? Some sort of a lockout happens with college athletes. My question to that is, okay, go on your lockout. Go on your strike if you're the players, but what leverage do they have over the College Sports Commission? Because that just hurts your team, your school, your fan base. The College Sports Commission, in my opinion, probably doesn't give a damn if you play or not.
Well, that and
Because they don't benefit or not benefit from you being on the field, right?
At least from what we think, that they don't benefit from things like that. You also look at it from the standpoint of, well, if you're going to have those lockouts or you're going to sit out, I mean, I feel like that hurts your college more because it's more of a NCAA thing rather than like a school thing, right? Or a university-specific,
I guess,
deal. And so then that obviously has to come up. And again,
not the NCAA.
Yeah, no. But continuing to do more and more research, again, we didn't say this number specifically, but this all conversation is referring to deals that are more than $600. So who's to say, Jacob, thanks so much for posting me on your Instagram. I'm going to pay you $599 a week for the next college football season. And that's going to be our NIL deal. They can't say no to it because it's not $600, or will it be? Is it the grand total? We are still trying to figure all of that out. But who's to say that that's not one of the loopholes of, man, it's, we'll pay you $599 twice per week for the next year until you see your true value for this deal.
Yeah, I mean, this last one of these last lines in this article that we're reading, again, go check it out at ESPN.com. It's incredible. It says the adjusted rules likely open some loopholes for creative boosters to continue funneling money to athletes for recruiting purposes via deals that are crafted as endorsements on paper. This shout out to this guy, man. This article on ESPN from Dan Murphy is incredible. Go check it out if you want some more information. If you text me in the text box, I'll link it to you. 334-784-1067. What a disaster.
This is what NIL was supposed to be all along, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, somebody responded. They said commissioner, players union, collective bargaining, or it won't work.
No, not at all. What is the NCAA in 5 years?
Dead. Non-existent. Buried in the ground. There you go. Well, what a great start to the show. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network as Auburn football practice is underway.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes in to hour number one here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Across from me is Christian Griffin. And we get to the phone lines and welcome back a guy who is with us every Thursday throughout the athletic seasons. And it's been periodically throughout the summer, but now that football is back, so is Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network. And he's with us on the phone lines now. Brad, it's great to talk to you. We got a chance to see you yesterday, and I hope everything is going well as the summer winds down.
That is one of the high points. One of the really great things about the start of fall camp is that we get to see so many people who do such a great job talking Auburn, covering the football program, and spending their time out at practice and press conferences. And we got to see almost everybody twice in one day yesterday. So that was great. We're excited. Fall camp's here. It's a great time.
Well, there's so much hype and buzz and conversation pieces with this Auburn football team and the football program and just year three under Hugh Freeze here on the Plains. And I know there's a lot of different opinions about what year three should be or could be or needs to be, right? But in your mind, just year three for a coach in general, Brad, not talking Auburn specific, but just year three for a head football coach in today's era of the game, what are realistic expectations or what do you think they should be doing by this time?
Yeah, that's tough for me. It's a good question, Jacob. It's tough for me to try to form an answer that wouldn't take 11 minutes or so, because every program is different, and the circumstances under which each new coach comes in are different. And certainly in Auburn's case, Hugh Freeze said from day one that you're probably needing a couple of recruiting classes before they're at the point where the roster can go commit, where you don't have to like gimmick scheme an offense or a game plan in general to beat a more talented team. And so they've set about their business of recruiting high school talent, and they were able to do that in a couple of weeks, flip some of the top players who now, as you look at this team, you have a couple of captains there in Keldrick Falk and Connor Liu, who are anchoring the offensive and defensive lines for this club. You have some talented sophomores on both sides of the ball. You have some highly rated offensive linemen, which is probably the area that needed the most work. They haven't had to be everyday players because you want, which is what you want. You want your offensive linemen to, you know, kind of come along, and if you don't need them until their junior or senior years, that's great. So I think the way this staff has gone about building this roster, they are exactly where they were supposed to be going into year three. And, you know, you got some things that are not in place this year that led to the not being what we thought it could have been and had every right to be a year ago. But going into year three, I think they're not behind schedule. I don't think they're ahead of schedule. I think it shows great planning and vision that from day one we've kind of pointed to year three, and now we're on the cusp of that.
And it's such a great question that Jacob had. Again, piggybacking off of that, we've talked about it in Atlanta with SEC Media Days, Brad, of how Freeze and Keldrick Falk and Connor Liu and Jackson Arnold, not only were they all synchronized in their answers, but you could feel the confidence. It's not arrogance, but it's confidence in what they are expecting to do on the field this year. Obviously, fall camp took place yesterday, and you felt like that was the vibe on the field as well. Again, just a confident group that knows they have everything in front of them. What are your thoughts right now as you work your way into day two here this afternoon?
I look at this roster and I don't see any reason for them not to be confident. Like, confidence and overconfidence are two separate words.
Yeah.
You don't want overconfidence, but you want confidence, and you should. Jackson Arnold was, like, according to some, the third highest rated recruit coming out of high school a couple of years ago. Highest rated quarterback Auburn has ever had on campus as a high school recruit, and now he's here with unarguably, like undebatably, better receivers and a better offensive line than he had a year ago. He's got the best SEC. He's got the best recruiting. Sorry, let me back up. He's got the best wide receiving core in the SEC. He has an offensive line in front of him that features six players with NFL draftable grades. You have Xavier Chaplin, who's an All-American candidate at left tackle. You have Wade and Wright, who've played forever. You have Connor Liu, who's an All-Conference candidate. And, you know, with that in mind and a much better fit for the offense, they should be confident. Same thing defensively. You guys remember the leap that Keldrick Falk took between his freshman four years? He was explosive his freshman year, but he was on a different level his sophomore year with a year of development under this staff. Now look at this depth chart on defense and look at sophomores like Jay Crawford and Malik Blockton and DeMarcus Riddick and Caleb Harris, just to name four. If any of those guys, or if all four of those guys show even moderately comparable improvement from their freshman to sophomore years as what Keldrick showed under the development of this staff, that's a tough squad now.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough to move the ball. So, yeah, that's the real long way to say they should be. They should be confident going into this season.
As fall practice began yesterday, going into the next several weeks before Auburn heads to Waco, Texas on a Friday night to open up the college football season, we're talking with Brad Law of the Auburn Sports Network here on ESPN 106.7. If you had to rank, Brad, the position battles that you have your eye on, whether it's a starting spot, whether it's a backup spot, or somebody trying to make their way into the rotation, if you had to rank them 1 through 3 or maybe 1 through 5 that you have your eye on over the next several weeks, what would those be?
I think I'm going to start at right tackle. I'm really curious to see, does Mason Murphy hold on to that position, or does Too Tall push him there with a couple of years of experience starting games at right tackle? There's Tyler Johnson, who they love and who saw action a good bit last year. I think you have the potential for 7 guys to compete for playing time along the starting offensive line. And I think, you know, Murphy coming in, though he's 320 pounds and a senior with he's got 30 plus games of experience. Can he be pushed? Will those guys push enough to make that a competition? My goodness, the safety spot, you know, Sylvester Smith and Hay Seymour and the freshman Eric Winters on one side of things, and then Caleb Harris and, you know, new boy Fagans on the other side. And where do we see Champ Anthony play any nickel there? And I think the safety spot is really, really it's fun, quite frankly, to watch those guys go at it, because you could play five guys at those two safety spots this year. I think the tight end spot is intriguing because Brandon Frazier is back, and I think he's maybe the most slept upon player on this team. He is not just a guy to seal the edge in the running game. He can catch passes. He's 6'7" and nearly 270 pounds and showed really good hands 2 years ago, the last full season for which he was healthy. And then behind him, Preston Howard, I think, can make plays. And I don't know if we're going to throw to the tight end as much this year as we've seen when Rivaldo Fairweather was on the field, but those guys are capable of that. And then I think running back, like, there's no clear RB1 coming in. So is it Cobb? Is it Alston? Is it Robinson? I thought Darrell Robinson looked good yesterday. How much does the true freshman sensation Alvin Henderson yield? And how is the running back used in the offense compared to a season ago? Those are four. I think I'll just stick to four in my position battles.
Well, going a little bit broader than that, I guess outside of position battles, are there any big question marks as you work your way through fall camp that you hope get resolved or get answered by that August 29th date?
I don't know, Christian, that I don't know if there's anything that will be resolved before the opener. I think it's going to be intriguing to see how the running backs are used as the season plays out. I think that Coach Freeze has talked about the rotation of defensive linemen. You know, those interior D linemen, you know, they feel like they've got a minimum of six guys, maybe more than that, that can be in the rotation, including a couple of true freshmen. So what does that rotation look like in game one?
Sure.
How different is it by the time you get to game four or game five? Like, Bobby Jameson Travis quietly had a really good year, especially the back half. Malik Blockton, one of those guys, does he take that jump during his from his freshman to sophomore year and up his game more? What do you get from the transfers in Jay Hardy and Dallas Walker and James Ash, who was impressive? Zacharius Walker was impressive. Malik Autry looked like Andre the Giant standing in that defensive line group. My good, I'm serious. He's the, like, he looked like senior Derrick Brown standing in the group with the rest of the defensive linemen. So, yeah, what does that interior D-line rotation look like? When Auburn's had championship teams and teams that contended for championships, they had talent and depth on the defensive line, and so we'll look for that.
We're talking about that first game in Waco on Friday, August 29th. Brad, I'm sure that you've seen it, but a full three-point flip as Auburn went from a point-and-a-half favorite now to a point-and-a-half underdog. Many have talked about Baylor coming out of the Big 12 media days to win the Big 12. What would you say is your biggest threat for Auburn on August 29th, and then what are your thoughts on that swing predictions with Baylor now being the favorite at home?
Now, I don't want to touch swing predictions a month away from the game, because if it can swing in one direction, it can swing in the other. I like what I've seen from Auburn through one day of practice and following the way the roster has been constructed. I think that the biggest challenge is going to be an all-conference level quarterback and really good skill position players. I respect all those position groups, and Dave Aranda's a terrific defensive mind as the head coach. I think Auburn has an advantage on the line of scrimmage both ways. Certainly their back-end defensive players, can they win the one-on-one matchups against some talented receivers? And can they get pressure? Can Keldrick Falk and Kieron Crawford and Chris Murray and Amaris Williams and Jamonte Waller and maybe Jared Smith? So many options there. Can you get some pressure on Sawyer Robertson, who is a very, very good quarterback? He can run a little, but he's not a dual threat guy. So, you know, pressure on the pocket passer is going to be very key. If Auburn, you know, if he's able to stay steady in the face of some pressure, that could give Auburn some problems. But again, I think fans can be very confident with Auburn's, you know, coaching, development, roster, and approach going into the game.
Auburn football will be making several road trips this year, of course, opening up at Baylor. They'll go to Norman, they'll go to College Station, back to Fayetteville, and a return trip to Nashville as well. We asked your co-worker, Jacob Hillman, the last time we talked to him, and we'll ask you again this, Brad. Is there a road trip you're looking forward to most this season as you guys travel with the Auburn Sports Network this fall?
What did he say? What was his answer?
I think he said Baylor. Baylor or Texas A&M? I actually can't remember which one he said.
All right. I got you. I'm going to go with Oklahoma because it'll be the first time that Auburn has played, or that I've been. I haven't gone yet for baseball or basketball either. So I've only spent a little bit of time in the Oklahoma City, Norman area, so it'll be good to get there and experience Memorial Stadium and certainly the storylines there. If that game is, if Auburn took care of business at Baylor, you're very likely 3-0 going into that game. They could be 3-0 as well. You have Jackson Arnold's homecoming there. It's going to be, I think, that's a magnificent atmosphere and a magnificent game. So I will say Oklahoma.
Why were you going to change your answer based off of what your friend said, Brad? Is that how you roll? You had to answer something different?
Listen, Jacob, I don't appreciate you trying to trap me here on this show when I come on. You know what? This gotcha journalism.
Oh, come on. Don't loop me in that.
Like Nancy Pelosi here. That's not what I came on to discuss. No, I wasn't going to change. I was just curious.
Okay. No, I respect it. I think that is going to be a really fun trip there to Norman. I expect that to be a really fun atmosphere as well. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, unfortunately, with the comments he just made, our final time that we get to talk to him here on the radio. That's unfortunate. No, we're kidding. He's with us this year once again on Thursday afternoons at 2:30. We appreciate you, your time, your partnership, of course, with us here at Auburn Network. Tell people what they need to know. I know Tiger Talk's coming up in just a few weeks, and, of course, kick off against Baylor on August 29th.
Yeah, we're less than 3 weeks away from Tiger Talk. That's back on Monday nights in the fall, starting August 18th. So we'll talk more about that as we get closer to it. And just a lot of really good stuff coming up. We got some announcements on pregame coverage and stuff like that here as we get closer. And I can't wait. 4 weeks from tomorrow, like 4 weeks from tonight, we will be in Waco, having dinner somewhere and probably listening to you online and getting ready for the opener.
Well, Brad, we appreciate you, my friend. We will talk to you again next Thursday when we have a couple of more practices under our belt to talk about as well.
Yep, love it. Always good to have that kind of – isn't it great to be in that part of the year now? Like all the transfer portal and the College Sports Commission and everything else.
Yeah,
it's wonderful for the summer. Now we can talk about the team and the games, and we're fired up for that.
No doubt about it. We appreciate you, Brad. We'll talk to you again on Thursday, all right?
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. War Eagle.
That's Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network with us every Thursday, 2:30, right here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, we appreciate Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network joining us as he does. Throughout the season, every Thursday at 2:30 again. Had him on a couple of times throughout the summer when there wasn't a ton going on, but now with football season back, he will be joining us every Thursday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7. And we got a couple of minutes before we get to hour number two, and something that we've been wanting to talk about, just haven't had the time to do it. It's just looking ahead. I saw somebody post about it. You were wanting to talk about it as well. It's the weekend of September 27th, which we are less than 2 months away from, and how just awesome it's going to be if you are just a sports fan. Doesn't have to be college football in particular. No. Just as a sports fan, what September 27th is going to bring.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be absolutely incredible. A live look-in. You even add Auburn, Texas A&M to this slate, but you have the Ryder Cup. If you're a golf fan, you have Alabama.
On American soil, by the way.
Yes, on American soil. You have the Ryder Cup. You have Alabama and Georgia as a night game. You have LSU and Ole Miss. You also have Oregon and Penn State. Pretty solid Saturday. And again, we're thankful that Auburn, Texas A&M is the afternoon slate to where, well, maybe we won't want to watch any of these games afterwards, but hopefully we'll love our Saturday evening with all of these. You then move your way into September 28th. That's Sunday. You also have the final day of the Ryder Cup. You have Eagles, Buccaneers, Ravens, Chiefs, and Packers, Cowboys.
Woo, Packers, baby. We're going to beat up on the Dallas Cowboys. We own the Cowboys. What are you talking about? Own the Cowboys. And if you want to throw something else in there just for fun, that is also the final weekend of the MLB regular season.
Oh, man. What a weekend it's going to be.
September 26th, September 27th, September 28th, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Holy
That's
cow.
The final weekend in the regular season of Major League Baseball. There will be some sort of divisional race up for grabs or a playoff spot up for grabs.
Yeah, Braves and Mets, baby, competing for the NL East.
Definitely not anymore with what the Mets just did a couple of minutes ago. I meant the Mets in general, but not the Braves. The Braves are done. They're toast. They're not even two in barbecue, man. They just were like, eh, we're good.
It's okay. Ronald Acuna got hurt, and now everybody's pissed again.
So. What was the term they
like
used?
Grade
with no
one.
With no timetable for return. That's what you love to hear, really.
It's what it should have been. I mean, with all due respect for that whole team, you're not doing anything. Why would you bring back the best player in the league to go and get hurt?
He's fine.
It's like the Pirates, man. They let Paul Skeens go four innings every single time just to let him throw 60 pitches, but I don't know. But what a weekend that's going to be. September 27th and September 28th. The Ryder Cup, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Penn State, and Oregon. It just sucks, though. We talked about that Georgia, Alabama, Penn State, and Oregon are at the exact same time.
The exact same time.
That hurts right there. Two of the best night games
of the year. Oregon's at Penn State and Bama's at Georgia. Are you kidding me?
Just move Bama to Georgia to Friday. I mean, who cares, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fine. It's fine.
They've done it with the other best games of the year, right?
Yeah, and then the NFL games, like you mentioned. What were the other two other than I tuned out?
Ryder Cup, Eagles, Buccaneers, which is a great game. Ravens, Chiefs, and then Packers, Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then the final regular season weekend.
Packers, baby.
Man.
We're so back.
Minus 10,000 for the best weekend of the year.
It's going to be a lot of fun, man. Looking forward to that. It's all coming up fast. And so is hour number two. We got a lot to talk about when we come back. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC will join us. We get fall practice started around the league. All 16 teams. I heard Chris is going to talk 5 minutes about every team. So I guess you have to stick around and see if he's able to do that. We'll also talk about Major League Baseball. It's the trade deadline about 2 hours away, and fall practice started for Auburn yesterday. We'll give you our thoughts and notes from that. All that coming up at a jam-packed hour number two.
An Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And we got a lot more to get to here on the show today. If you missed any of hour number one, you can always go back and catch it with the podcast. You can find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com and our podcast center where we post all of our old shows and interviews and things like that. And so in hour number one, we talked about a lot of several things with Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network, who joined us and back in the rotation for Thursdays at 2:30. Talked to him about fall practice starting for Auburn, which we're going to get to a little bit ourselves here in just a moment. But talked about that, talked about some of the position battles with him and things that he's looking forward to. And we also talked about the new College Sports Commission memo that was sent out today, and the fact that, breaking news, athletes can make money again, and now everything has to be approved, and it has to go through NIL Go, and pay for play is still, quote, prohibited. There's no way it'll happen anymore. Thanks a lot, CSC. And so we talked about all that and more in hour number one. And if you missed it, go check it out on our station website in the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
Here in hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit of trade deadline news in the MLB. As Jacob mentioned, we're just about 2 hours, we're under 2 hours away from the deadline officially being closed, and there's been some big-time trades that worked its way through a couple of days ago to last night, and even some to today, and there's going to be some more up until right about the final hour, right about those final 5 minutes. You remember the homework days, right? Submitted at 11:59, right before the deadline is done, but 5 o'clock Central Time is when the MLB trade deadline will come to a close. We're also going to get Chris Gordy, host of the Locked On SEC podcast, here to join us as he does every single Thursday at 3:30. We're going to get his thoughts on the SEC media votings on Tennessee, or Texas rather, projected to beat Georgia in the SEC championship, some of the biggest storylines from fall camp and from around the league, and some of the biggest storylines that we need to look forward to as we continue to near our date of college football. And with that date nearing, fall practice has begun for the Auburn Tigers, and that is where we begin with our number two. He is Jacob Goins. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us, whether it's for the entire segment so far, the entire hour, or you're just now picking up here with us in hour number two. We appreciate you for joining us and for being here on ESPN 106.7. Jacob, fall camp practice number two gets going here in just a little bit, but fall camp practice number one, man, everybody, you saw the videos on social media that Auburn football, the Auburn Tigers posted, of just everybody running out after finally lacing up the cleats, and you can just feel the excitement. The buzz is back for Auburn football around the Plains.
Yeah, and the thing that stands out to me, unfortunately, we were not able to be there live for the viewing window yesterday, since it did get moved from the morning to the afternoon. It was 3:30 yesterday, and our show runs until 4 o'clock, of course. And so we were unable to be there in person, but from the pictures and the videos and talking to the folks who did get a chance to be there, the thing that stands out to me already, just with this team being on the field for one day, it's the physical appearance that they have. And I told this to Doug earlier on the Max Roundtable. It's just the visible difference that this team has in comparison to several other teams in Auburn's history in the last 5 or 6 years. I mean, I said to Doug, it's very cliche, and you hear it way too often, but Auburn truly is bigger, faster, stronger. Just from the looks of it. We haven't even seen them really play. I mean, heck, yesterday, you're not even in pads. You're just out there in shorts and helmets. I mean,
they looked like they were in pads.
They looked like it, though. You're absolutely right. I mean, some of the videos I saw and the pictures of guys like Damari Austin or some of those linebackers, or as Brad was saying, Malik Autry. I mean, these dudes are massive human beings. And the fact that for the first time in a long time, Christian, the Auburn roster, the Auburn football roster, just by looks, feels like it belongs in the SEC. Yeah. Feels like it actually can compete in the SEC. Just pound for pound, man for man. We're not talking scheme. We're not talking plays. We're not talking execution. But man for man, line up and let's hit somebody. Auburn, for the first time in a long time, looks like they can hang with everybody in the conference.
Yeah, from top to bottom as well, right?
Right.
You've always seen Auburn have that one defensive end or the defensive lineman, the big running back, the big middle linebacker, but you're going around and looking across the SEC and it's, holy cow, you're looking at some of these dudes. No, you're now looking over at the Auburn practice facility and you're sitting there looking at every position group and you're seeing that, man, two, three, four guys line up and just look like they already belong. Doesn't matter if they're freshmen or sophomores or they are those seniors, man. It brings so much excitement just knowing that you feel like and it, you hate to sound like this, but you feel like you're not losing in any position when you compare with the rest of the SEC, and that hasn't just been the case. You feel like what I mentioned to start it, you're from top to bottom, you look like you're able to not only hold your own, but you can go and win whatever that simple rep may be.
Well, I'll say it. It looks – you finally get this idea and you get this sense of how behind Auburn really was in years past.
Yeah.
How – I'm not going to say bad. That's not a good word to use. But just how lacking Auburn was in their rosters over the past 5 or 6 years at the end of the Malzahn era, throughout the Harsin era, and even in the first 2 years of the Hugh Freeze era, which isn't his fault. He's clearly made up for that, but it really does go to show. And for fans who have not been able to see it yet, I'm telling you, you will be able to notice a physical looking difference of the dudes who play on this football team. And that's not just the starters. Like you said, this is the two deep. These are the backups. These are the walk-ons. Everybody just looks different. And when your blue chip ratio is 63%+, it's supposed to look this way. This is what a true SEC team is supposed to look like, just from a physical appearance. Then all the other stuff like execution and play calling and those things come into fruition. Sure. But this, to me, really just goes to show how behind Auburn's been for a long time.
Right. And then, I mean, you're obviously seeing videos of the wide receivers going through all of their routes and going through the drills. And you just see, I mean, they're sitting there running through the dummies when you're trying to do the ball security. And I remember running through that and sometimes getting pushed back by some of those little rubber arms or whatever. But, I mean, it looks like you're getting there just – slapping
like
at
a
them
toddler slapping at them. Yeah,
I mean, they just look massive. And I mean, the ability for the wide receivers, I mean, obviously you talk about the hands rather than catching it with the bodies and stuff. I mean, it's been so impressive. And then you're looking at Jack Snarnold just throwing it to him. I mean, the targets that he's going to be able to have out wide, and then the offensive line that we've talked about, you just feel like there's no way success can't be in the near future.
And I go back to something that Hugh Freeze said yesterday in his opening press conference about the offensive line. And a reminder, phone lines are open if you want to be a part of this conversation. We'd love to hear from you, your takeaways day one from fall practice, or any of the videos or pictures or anything or notes that you've seen or heard. We want to get your thoughts. 334-321-1390. You could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. And I can't quit going back to the idea of what Freeze talked about with the guys on the offensive line. The fact that all five starters and Tutaw Miller, who he alluded to is not the projected starter at right tackle right now, he said that all five of the projected starters and Tutaw Miller were graded out as draftable guys to the NFL by the first scout who stood on campus. That is incredible to me. The fact that all five projected starters and your backup, probably at right tackle, possibly right guard, all six of those guys are considered draftable by the first scout that took a look at them. That should give Auburn fans massive amounts of confidence on what the potential of the line could be.
Yeah, and we're going to get to the phone lines here. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, 334-321-1390. And John and Auburn, you're on the line. You got thoughts on how the Auburn Tigers looked after day one?
I think they look good. I think they look good. Here's my question, you know. I mean, we're sitting here and it's talking season, but you know we're looking good, but we're a 1.5-point road underdog to Baylor. I mean, historically, that's not a place Auburn would be. With the roster as good as it is that 1.5? Is that Auburn's history? Is that what the public thinks about Auburn's roster, or is that what the public thinks about Hugh Freeze?
I think it's what people in the public think about the Auburn logo. That's the route that I go, because there's no way that most of the people who have bet on this game, I would say the big bettors have, yes, but most of the general public has not done a true side-by-side comparison of what Auburn has versus what Baylor has. And so, because if they had, they would not be betting on Baylor, I can promise you that. I think they're betting on Baylor at home on a Friday night with a crazy atmosphere. And I think the public perception of what Auburn has done in recent history and memory is swaying the way they lay their money down.
I agree. I do think there's... I wonder how much, you know, and Hugh Freeze was the coach at Auburn when Auburn was favored by a couple points. But I wonder how much that narrative, just the outside Lee County viewpoints on this team. Anyway, thank you guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, John. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open for about 15 or so more minutes. I mean, that's where I go. I mean, just talking with buddies that don't cover Auburn, that cover other SEC teams, or even a lot of my Big Ten buddies. I mean, talking to them about their perception of Auburn, it is kind of that of, oh, yeah, I mean, they haven't done much. I mean, that's a team that hasn't done it. They've blown games. They haven't had winning seasons. I mean, nobody really thinks about Auburn outside of the SEC, especially in other states, right, that don't represent the Southeastern Conference. And so for people who are Big 12 fans, Baylor fans, whatever the case may be, yeah, they feel confident that Baylor can win that game just based off of recent history alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's simply the, man, why would I put money on a team that hasn't done and hasn't proven why? You've heard this. I've already lost too much money on the Auburn Tigers over the past half decade or so, just based off of what they were supposed to do versus what they have done and what the final result looked like. So why would I do anything different here in game one? I also think that there was a lot of hype around Auburn, and we talked about it on the show here, of the national media giving a lot of respect to Auburn early on, just because of Jackson Arnold, because of Eric Singleton Jr., because of Cam Coleman, and talking about what the team could look like. So there could have been a lot of money on that initially, but now after Big 12 media days, you're hearing a lot of hype around Baylor, and then obviously with some of these people that have big followings, and no discredit to them, but if they go out and they pick Baylor to win the Big 12, I believe Josh Pate did. We talked about J.D. Pickle did as well.
Yeah.
That could easily sway some of the general public as well, who haven't gone and done that true research of, okay, well, let me look at what this Auburn team actually is. It's, okay, he picked Baylor to win the Big 12. Who are the – oh, they're playing Auburn week one? Yeah, let me hammer the Baylor Bears money line.
Yeah, that's a really good point, I think. And that's the season that we're in, this in-between of summer and now getting into fall practice. And so, because I truly believe this, if anybody were to sit down and just compare with knowledge, okay, on Auburn's roster versus Baylor's roster, pound for pound, man for man, depth for depth, star for star.
Even go and look rather than just paper, right? Because paper obviously does one thing, but you go and you look at what fall camp looked like yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just one day.
Just look. Just
watch.
Yeah, just watch, right? God, anyway. What an idiot. There's no way that you think Baylor's a better football team than Auburn on paper, physically, in appearance, right? But we know in games like this, for obvious reasons, the best team doesn't always win. There are a lot more factors on whether you have more 5-4-4 stars than the other team. There's a lot more factors on whether you look physically better than the other team. There's a lot more factors on whether you have more blue chip ratio players than the team you're going against. And all of those are reasons, all the other reasons, are why people are betting on Baylor. The fact that it's at home on a Friday night with a crazy atmosphere against an Auburn team that when they step outside of Jordan-Hare, they're not that good in recent memory. They're just not. And think about any average fan out there. They look at this game and they look at the spread and they're like, wait a minute, hold the phone. That's an Auburn team that's favored on the road against Baylor. The one that I saw a couple, an average fan now. I remember staying up late and watching that team struggle against California and Berkeley a couple years ago. Ain't no way they go on the road and beat Baylor, right? Ain't no way. That's the team that I've seen go on the road and lose to Missouri. I've seen that team have to scrap and claw their way out of Vanderbilt, and I don't know about all that. I mean, I've seen that team get destroyed on neutral site, much less going on the road in a true road game, on top of what you said, Christian, about now some of the big national folks are starting to pick Baylor to maybe win the Big 12 or at least have a say in the Big 12. It's very easy for the average college football fan to start looking at this game and thinking that something doesn't smell right if Auburn was the favorite.
I asked an unnamed artificial intelligence site to give me a comparable team in the Big 12 or the ACC that's comparable to Auburn, just leading to this example, so that way Auburn fans can throw themselves into this situation.
TCU.
And it said, actually said Texas Tech.
Oh, that was my first guess, and I changed it. I'm not. Oh,
and then the ACC was NC State. From the standpoint of great at home, great environments, but kind of struggle when you leak away. So throw yourself into this comparison of not being the Auburn fan. Imagine this is Texas Tech and whoever. If you're sitting there trying to throw interest on it, it's okay. Well, I guess I've watched Texas Tech a time or two, and you've heard a little bit about them. But man, I don't have too much knowledge on them. Let me go and if these other guys say that they know a lot more about them. Yeah, I'll trust their gut a lot more.
I think this year a comparison could be Texas Tech opening up the season on the road at Michigan in the Big House.
Sure.
That's a Michigan team that has lost some. I think their win total is like 8.5, something like that, close to Auburn, right? Similar in comparison. I know Michigan just won a national title a couple years ago, but I'm talking this year in particular. Would anybody pick Texas Tech to go on the road and beat Michigan? That's a tougher environment at times. I get it, but Waco's going to be wild. Texas Tech going on the road at Michigan. Do you pick them to win? No. Do you pick NC State to go on the road and take on, trying to think, middle of the pack SEC squad? I mean, Ole Miss? I mean, maybe a little high, but do you pick NC State to go on the road week one and beat Ole Miss? That may be a little bit more popular, but not by much, right? Who's an SEC team that's got about an 8.5 win total this year?
I mean, Ole Miss is that team.
Well, then there you go. Would you pick NC State to go on the road on a Friday night and beat Ole Miss in week one of the season? No.
Especially if that's taking our knowledge of Ole Miss out of the equation as well.
Correct.
Just seeing from what they've done recently.
Right. So it's fair to see and understand why the general public, who don't wear orange and blue, who don't cover the team, or who don't watch the team because they're represented in the SEC, why you would go against Auburn when they're on the road against Baylor on a Friday night. It makes sense. But then you have to actually play the game. And that's where we're hoping that Auburn can prove people wrong and show up and be prepared and execute and walk out of there with a W. 334-321-1390. Appreciate the call from John. This is your last chance to get in. We'll have one more segment before we get to Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC. You can be a part of it. Shoot us a text as well. 334-784-1067. We're back right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
We are back here on ESPN 106.7. Got a couple of minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break, where Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is going to join us.
He's going to be intrigued about the news that we just saw as well.
He is, yeah. We're talking a little bit. I know we don't have a ton of time. We went long in our last segment, but MLB trade deadline. It's coming up in 1 hour and, 36 minutes is what we have?
35.
No.
Because it doesn't close. No. You got to be done.
Oh, well, okay, you have until, 4:59:59 to have it
it's
in
like
or
homework.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. So, trade deadline coming up at 5 o'clock Central Time. There's already been some crazy moves, and I expect there to be some more. The one we were just talking about and the one that Gordy will absolutely have something to say is the fact that Carlos Correa is back in Houston.
Yeah.
He got traded from there a couple of years ago, went to the Minnesota Twins. We were actually talking about it during the break of, like, it just felt weird.
It felt weird. Yeah.
Felt wrong, really, for a guy who won a World Series with Houston, was a part of those teams, whether you liked them or not, cheaters or not, they were. It just felt like, I don't know, it felt forced to me when he got traded to the Twins, but we just saw the breaking news. He's heading back to Houston.
Oh, yeah, the perfect thing that I said was it almost felt like it was like, all right, bro, get out of town, lower your status for a couple years, and then slowly make your way
back
into the city. But yeah, Carlos Correa is returning to the Astros, and that was kind of the stunning one because I had seen things and it was saying how it was very unlikely, but obviously it just worked its way into fruition. Some of the other big ones, Tyler Rogers is now with the Mets, the lefty that was with the Orioles that had a fantastic year over the past couple of weeks. Cabrian Hayes now with the Reds. The Reds are trying to make that little push, man.
As they should.
And if you can get some more big-time bats, man, I mean, the Great American Small Park is fantastic. They also got Zach Littell from the Rays. The Mariners got Josh Naylor from the Diamondbacks. And then also got Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks as well. And you want to talk about a guy that's worked his way into a whole lot of money. I mean, Eugenio Suarez coming off an all-star year. They were wondering if – because he got hit by a pitch in his finger a couple nights ago, and they were talking about how that could impact the trade. It was like, holy cow, imagine being hit in the finger and losing out
2 days before the trade deadline hits.
Ryan McMahon got traded to the Yankees. He's already playing for them. He had a walk-off single last night. Shane Bieber is now with the Blue Jays instead of the Guardians.
Little Bieber fever.
The Mets also got Ryan Helsley, which is a very, very good pickup.
Mets are making a push.
They are making a very big push. Yankees also got David Bednar from the Pirates. The Phillies arguably might have gotten one of the more consistent closers in the league, at least as of late. They got Yoan Duran from the Twins. They trade him for a catcher and then Mick Abel. And again, Eugenio Suarez is the big one before today. And then you enter today, and the AAA Braves, the Athletics, traded Mason Miller, who was their closer, the 104-mile-an-hour thrower, and the lefty J.P. Spears to the Padres. And those are two fantastic gets for the Padres. You traded a couple of prospects, a shortstop, and three right-handed pitchers. But the Padres went out and got their closer and a left-handed starter who has been very, very solid as of late. And you thought the Mets were pretty much done. Oh, nope. Orioles, you mind picking up the phone once again? Cedric Mullins will now be the starting center fielder for the New York Mets, all before, as we mentioned just a moment ago, Carlos Correa returning to the Houston Astros.
Don't worry. My Red Sox have said, we're good. Just kick your feet up. Let's watch ESPN. Let's keep social media open for when Jeff Passan tweets out and just see what everybody else does. Let's just have a little fun.
For you, though, I feel like it's almost no news is good news, because I know that you need pitching.
We do.
But if there's going to be a Red Sox trade, the first thing you're going to expect is Jaron Duran.
Duran, yes.
And that's what you don't really want to see.
Which we did move Devers a while back, which is fine. I mean, that has worked out pretty good for the Red Sox, believe it or not. It's kind of wild how that worked, but I know what you're saying. It's just, I just want to be a part of the action.
Trust me, we
need pitching.
Trust me, we want to be a part of the conversation too. All the Braves country sits there, go the classic meme of poking with a stick. Hey, do something.
Again, good for the Reds, though, because they're in contention, and they should be trying to make a push. The last time they made the playoffs was during COVID in 2020 when they lost to the Braves.
Yeah.
Before that, 2013. Reds got to do something, man. I got a bunch of buddies who are Reds fans, and as far as I know, they've been miserable their entire lives. So they need to do something, and the Reds could do it right now. A little bit of this talk with Chris Gordy when we come back, but a lot of fall camp talk around the SEC. Chris Gordy joins us next.
We're halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. And we're excited to get this guy back on the show, as he does every Thursday at 3:30. Our man Chris Gordy, are you guys celebrating in the streets over there in Houston now that your shortstop is back with Carlos Correa back in Houston?
So, fun fact, I'm talking to you outside of Cheers Bar right now in Boston. I'm here as the Astros are coming to play a series here starting tomorrow. And, I guess I'll be down there on the field as Carlos Correa joins his new team tomorrow. So that'll be crazy.
Nice. Are you there? Are you credentialed media for the Astros? I know you've gone to a lot of the World Series and the postseason games and stuff. I guess I've never asked you. Are you credentialed media for them?
Yes.
Okay.
I do a lot of their pre- and post-game shows, So I have season credentials, but when you go on the road, you got to request separate credentials.
Sure.
So I'm doing I'm going on the field pregame to do media stuff, then I'm going to go sit in the stands as a fan. So it's kind of double duty tomorrow.
Okay. First time in Boston?
First time as a fan. First time I'll be able to have a beer in Fenway.
Nice.
Last time was, I think it was the 2021 ALCS when the Astros came back. Ironically, or Carlos Correa came up with some big home runs mm-hmm. that had them come back from down in a series to the Red Sox.
Okay.
Where are we sitting, Chris?
So we're in the grandstand Saturday night. I forget where we are tomorrow night, but my wife paid extra money for the seats tomorrow night because it is Bravo night at the ballpark, and you get to meet a couple of the Bravo stars pregame, and you get like a Bravo hat. So
nice.
Yeah, she's in all the Housewives, Vanderpump, all that crap.
Well, man, Fenway is it's a magical place. There's a lot going on outside of Fenway as well, so enjoy that place. I'm a huge Red Sox fan, and I loved my trip up to Boston. So enjoy that, my friend. I know it's kind of work, kind of pleasure there as well. But, man, we've got so much to talk about, and we appreciate you taking some time out of your trip up there to speak with us about fall practice, because it is on around the SEC, all 16 teams getting in action here over the next several days. And just kind of an open-ended question in terms of the biggest storylines. What are you keeping an eye on? What are you tracking? And which ones will you be talking about on your show over the next several weeks?
Yeah, sorry for Boston PD in the background. But, no, I thought it was kind of interesting, the storyline that came out yesterday with Hugh Freeze speaking and talking about wanting, asking DJ Durkin to go light defensively on his quarterback so that Jackson Arnold comes out of practice with a little more confidence. I think a lot of us old school guys see that, and we kind of laugh and go, really? Like, have we reached that level of softness where we got to go easy on our quarterback to let him get some confidence? But when you kind of hear a little bit deeper that Hugh says, yeah, this is kind of how they did it in other spots before and kind of getting back to how we used to do it, okay, well, that sounds great because he had great success at Ole Miss. He had great success at Liberty. So whatever the hell you did in those places at work, do that now at Auburn, because you didn't. Whatever you haven't been doing the last 2 years, try something different. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of jumped out to me. Obviously, over at Tennessee, the Pooh Carter drama and what's happening there. Is he on the team? Is he not on the team? They say he is on the team still, but there was reports coming out that he was flirting with Colorado and thinking about leaving. And, you know, he's a big part of their secondary. So, you know, that's an interesting storyline. I know, over at Alabama, they were talking today about the quarterback battle that's ongoing. I think it's just a matter of time before we're going to get a Ty Simpson announcement that he's won the starting job. But, yeah, I think a lot of the drama is kind of out the window, at least on a lot of SEC camp, the start of SEC camps for a lot of schools, because I think most schools, you know, one, know who their quarterbacks are, two, you know, have the offense already instilled. So, I mean, there's not a lot of drama right now, not a lot of question marks as we count down, other than, you know, when we hear the reports the other day that DJ Lagway is in a walking boot at Florida, who, by the way, they are a month away from their home opener against Long Island. And I'm like, you know, they're saying, oh, it's just a calf strain and it's no big deal and all this. But, you know, like we're under 30 days now away from you opening your season. Like your starting quarterback's in a walking boot. So, yeah, again, people I've talked to in Gainesville said it's much ado about nothing. He's going to be fine. But it just makes me a little bit concerned because I don't like what they have behind him depth-wise. Harrison Bailey going into his sixth year of college football. What, 3 years at Tennessee, a year at UNLV, and then 2 years at Louisville. He's thrown like 10 touchdowns total in his career.
Yikes.
So I don't like what they have behind him, which basically says, look, DJ Lagway is the season for Florida. If he gets hurt at all and misses any time, I think it's game over for Billy Napier. I mean, you're talking potentially, you know, 5, 6, 7 losses. The losses start to mount, and then, you know, suddenly he finds himself out of a job. So, again, that's just everybody I talk to in Florida says much ado about nothing. Lagway's going to be fine. Don't make a big deal out of it. But, again, whenever you see the words walking boot and your starting quarterback, there's cause for concern.
Well, Chris, the last time that we got to talk to you, I believe it was in person in Atlanta for SEC Media Days. And according to the SEC media voting, it had Texas beating Georgia in the SEC championship. Wanted your thoughts on that. Do we agree? We talked with Jordan Hill of Dogs 24/7 yesterday, and he said he was even a little bit surprised that they had Georgia even playing in the SEC championship. Do you have Texas and Georgia, or is there another team in there that as of right now you would slate in?
Yeah, I went Georgia-LSU, and I had Georgia winning just because I think, you know, look, that's kind of been the fun narrative that people have run with here in the last couple of weeks. Oh, Georgia, they've lost a ton. Oh, Georgia's got all these question marks. And I'm just like, look, Kirby Smart has earned the benefit of the doubt, man. I mean, he's had number one or number two recruiting classes every year. If you really think Georgia's going to fall back to a four or five loss team, I got to see it to believe it. I mean, Kirby's one kryptonite that was in this conference for the last decade was Nick Saban, and he's gone. So I get it. They lost the game to Bama last year, but, you know, we try to rewrite history and not act like they fell behind in the worst deficit they've ever been under in Kirby Smart, and yet made it a one-score game, you know, in the final minutes to come back in that game with Carson Beck, despite all the interceptions. So, to me, Kirby gets the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying that just because he sat down with us at SEC Media Days and he's tremendously nice to us, but I think Kirby gets the benefit of the doubt. I've had several people, you know, on Locked On SEC Today. We had Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South. He thinks this is LSU's year. He thinks Brian Kelly and LSU are going to win the SEC and go on to win the national championship. So, you know, again, I had LSU getting to Atlanta. He's got them winning it. So I think the bigger picture, though, we're starting to come around to is Texas has a lot of question marks, man. And look, Stark's done a great job there. And as much as I love Arch and think he's going to be great, we might be putting the cart before the horse and thinking Texas is just going to repeat and they're just going to run through the SEC. I will say this, though. For the longest, the media was historically wrong on picking the two teams in Atlanta. But as somebody pointed out to me, the last couple of years, they've got it right. Like the teams that have been picked by the media to get to Atlanta the last couple of years at Media Days, they've been accurate. So would not shock me if it's Texas versus Georgia. But to me, I hate repeats. That gets very boring. I like to see new blood in there, new teams. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But again, I had Georgia winning over LSU in Atlanta. And again, a lot of people kind of looking at Texas a little sideways now saying, man, are we just going to pencil them in? I think they lost a ton. Like, we've got to acknowledge that for the Longhorns.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd hate to see LSU win the SEC and make the college football playoff, right, Chris?
Well, I mean, the pressure's on Brian Kelly. I mean,
no doubt.
It's to a point now, he's in year four, where anything worse than 10-2 is unacceptable at this point. Like, and I saw a video of practice yesterday, and I mean, right out of the gates, Nussmeier is slinging the ball all over the field to his new weapons. Barry and Brown, of course, who's got the track speed coming over from Kentucky. Like, this is his most talented roster he's had. So it's put up or shut up time. And again, let's, you know, for all the grief that Brian Kelly gets, let's not act like the guy's not been to and played for a couple of championships. Like, he's gotten there before. It's not like he's this massive underachiever. In fact, he was the first guy to get to Notre Dame and win consistently there in many, many years. Charlie Weiss couldn't do it. Tyrone Willingham couldn't do it. Brian Kelly doesn't. And yet everybody wants to talk about his shortcomings instead of what he's actually accomplished. But again, you know, going into year four in Baton Rouge at a school like LSU, he's got to put up or shut up. I mean, this is what the three previous coaches did. You know, Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Ogeron were all winning championships by this point. He's got to at least make the playoff. I mean, that's the bare minimum. 10-2 and make the playoff. Not saying you got to win the SEC. Not saying you got to win a playoff game. I mean, it'd be pretty disappointing to get there and lose in the first round. But at least that's a step forward from where the program has been so far.
Was it the LSU DB, that video that went viral from practice that came up on his defensive coordinator inside like the 10 and his DC put some nasty shake move on him and sent the DB going flying off screen? Have you seen that, Chris?
I haven't seen that yet, but I have heard that the players do like Blake Baker a ton and that defense was much improved last year than they were the year prior. I still think Matt House should go to jail for the defense he ran 2 years ago when Jaden Daniels won the Heisman. I mean, it's an absolute joke. Somebody was talking to me the other day about the greatest LSU quarterbacks of all time, and he was listing the championship quarterbacks, Matt Mock, Matt Flynn, and Joe Burrow, and he let Jaden Daniels off the list. And I said, whoa, we're not going to fault Jaden Daniels' great Heisman season all because he had an historically awful defense. On any other team that year with a slightly better defense, Jaden Daniels won a national championship. So, yeah. Again, Matt House deserves to be in federal prison for that defense he ran out there a couple years ago at LSU.
Well, I recommend anybody look it up on social media. It's a really funny video. It is Matt, it is the DC who, yeah, he puts some like fun step back shake move on a DB messing around with him and just jukes him out of his shoes. So go look that up on social media. It's a lot of fun right now. Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC is joining us. Boots on the ground in Boston as he's covering some baseball up there. We're talking SEC football with him. And quarterbacks, as you've talked about some in this segment, and that was the talk of SEC media days as well. I need a prediction from you, Chris. I need a quarterback that's being hyped up that you think will underperform this year and a quarterback that's not being talked about enough that will overperform this year, just based off of the general expectations around the league?
Yeah, I'll say one that maybe is being hyped a little bit too much, and this might be a little bit hot take, but I think Lenora Sellers maybe is we're hyping up a little bit too much.
Okay.
You go back and watch what he did down the stretch of last season. I mean, again, Josh Simon was a great tight end weapon for him, but we can't act like that run game with Rocket Sanders was a great compliment for him. And if they do not find a good replacement, if they do not have a decent run game, which is what they lacked for two straight years when Spencer Rattler was there, they couldn't run the football. Spencer Rattler was getting his brains kicked in. Sellers obviously more mobile, and he can use his legs and run for yardage. But I just worry if they are not balanced and they have no complementary run game on top of, you know, look, I like Nick Harbor, but every year we've been saying like, oh, is this the year light comes on for Nick Harbor? Like, we're still looking for big time pass catchers for him. And, you know, we really haven't had it since the days of, was it Xavier Leggett a few years ago when he was a first round pick. So, that one to me, I keep looking at. And I mean, when the media put him first team all SEC, I thought it was a little bit of a slap in the face to Garrett Nussmeier, who's the lone 4,000 yard returning passer in the country. I think we're putting a little too much stock into what South Carolina did in the final couple regular season games. We tend to forget Lenoris didn't play great in the bowl game and they lost to Illinois. I mean, God, every Big Ten fan wants to remind me of that every time we talk Big Ten versus SEC. Oh, don't forget, Illinois beat South Carolina. Okay, great. but I do think we do have to remember, you know, Sellers was not this fantastical, amazing passer last year. So, to me, he might be the one that maybe comes back down to earth. Who are we not talking enough about? I mean, can I say Jackson Arnold?
Jackson Arnold, that was my question. I was going to ask where you ranked him. You hadn't taken your jab at Auburn yet today, so we were gonna throw the alley-oop for you.
I think he's gonna be good. I mean, again, you know, we were doing our top 100 list locked on. We across our whole channel, all of our hosts, we ranked the top 100 players in all of college football, and we just put that list out. Yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
And we got into the 30s, and I think it was like 36th and 38th right there. It's Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton. I'm going, wait a minute. If Auburn's got two receivers that are top 40 players in college football, that quarterback better be getting them the damn football. So, you know, I like what they got on the O-line. I like Connor Lue and all those pieces. So, to me, yes, I think – and the pressure of the world is on him, and I get it. You know, Hugh's trying to protect him at all costs. But I think at the end of the day, it'll be very disappointing if Jackson Arnold is – let's just say top five in the SEC in all-purpose yards. I'm not even going to go as far as to say just passing yards. I just think passing and rushing combined, he should be top five in the SEC all-purpose yards.
Wow. I'm so proud of you, Chris. I knew that this relationship was turning in the right direction with your love and affiliation for what Auburn's going to do on the field this year.
Well, if he doesn't, in November, you'll have me on. We'll be talking coaching search. Who can Auburn hire next? The buyout for Hugh Freeze is on. Who are they getting?
No, we don't need another one of those. Not right now. Our brains and our hearts just can't take another one of those. They're not as fun as they seem sometimes. And so, Chris Cordy, Locked On SEC, my man, we always appreciate you. And again, really do appreciate you taking time out of your trip up there in New England. Enjoy that trip. Tell people where they can find you and all your content. Even though you're in Boston, you're still talking SEC.
Yeah, Locked On SEC, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you could, do us a favor, go subscribe on YouTube. Just pull up Locked On SEC, hit subscribe. We are about 240 away from hitting our 10,000 goal, which we're trying to hit before the start of the season. So we're getting there slowly but surely. Just look us up, Locked On SEC.
We appreciate it, Chris. Enjoy your trip up there. Buy yourself a Red Sox jersey and eat yourself a lobster roll when you're there, too.
Yeah, I'm going to go do a Jaeger bomb at Cheers on you.
On me. I'll Venmo you. Thanks, Chris. We appreciate the time, brother. Chris Cordy, Locked On SEC. Go check it out wherever you get your podcast. It's free to subscribe to him on YouTube as well. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it all up here on the Thursday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Thursday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And What a great show today, man. It flew by. We had a lot of things to go over. We almost hit all of them. And so we appreciate our two guests for joining us. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network was with us in hour number one, talking Auburn fall camp. Chris Gordy just joined us from Boston. I'm so happy for him to be up there in one of the greatest cities on earth. And so talked to him about, of course, SEC fall camps and things getting started, some quarterback battles and different things like that. And so those two wonderful guests also talked about the College Sports Commission coming out with a memo today that pay for play will not be tolerated.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck 'em. Yeah. That one.
Get the heck out of here with those silly NIL deals.
Yeah. We won't stand for it. But you'll sit and watch it. Okay, so we talked about that in the first hour. We also talked Major League Baseball trade deadline as well and a lot of other things. And so if you missed any of that in our notes from fall practice from day one from Auburn as well. So all of that and more was on today's show. If you missed it, go back, check it out on our station website, the podcast version of the show at ESPNAU.com.
And I know we have a very fun show set up for you tomorrow. But before we do that, because again, I'm still kind of in the dark, I'm going to have to learn as we go a little bit on the show tomorrow, but we've talked about it for two straight days, and just for a minute or two, figured we'd go ahead and read everything. We're talking about the confidence of Jackson Arnold and how, despite what the media has done with that or these troll pages have done with the Hugh Freeze taking it easy on, or DJ Durkin taking it easy on Jackson Arnold to boost the confidence. Looking at the Heisman odds, he's plus 2,500 right now to win the Heisman Trophy, and just for a comparison, it's the same odds as Dante Moore at Oregon, DJ Lagway at Florida, John Mateer at OU, and Gunnar Stockton at Georgia. So
that's pretty good company.
Not bad names to be surrounded by if you're Jackson Arnold just right now. So those have gone up a little bit, and hey, I wouldn't complain if it continued to rise.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, hey, his name will be brought up tomorrow because our friend Jack Hutton, Jumpin' Jack, is going to be in the studio for the entire show, and we're doing our annual Auburn football team draft. We've done it the last several years. Christian, you get to be a part of it this year for the first time. Really excited for what tomorrow is. It's a great way to kick off the month of August, to get us into the start of college football season. We'll sit down, not exactly sure what position breakdown in terms of numbers, but we'll all draft a quarterback back on this team. We'll draft a running back, couple of receivers, a tight end, couple of O-linemen, D-linemen, linebackers, corners, and safeties. And then it really gives us a chance to do a deep dive on this roster. We're all going to draft a player, say why we drafted him, talk about him in detail, and then we keep track of him, right? We kind of keep score and see at the end of the season who had the best roster, who drafted the best players, and it's all based off predictions and feelings, but that's going to be on the show tomorrow. So if you're looking for a deep dive into this Auburn football roster and who's on it and who could be good and who will be good, tomorrow's the day to tune in, all right? So we're going to have that for you tomorrow. Our Auburn football team draft, 2 hours of the show. Our buddy Jumpin' Jack Hutton is in the studio with us. I'm really excited for it. That's going to be what's up coming up on the show tomorrow. And then I'm gone Monday, Tuesday. I'll be out of town. We'll tell you a little bit more about that tomorrow. But yes, tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN. So if you missed today's show, it was a good one. Go check it out. All right, ESPNAU.com. Say goodbye to July because August starts tomorrow.
Tomorrow, you're going to wake up, and it's the same month of freaking college football.
Hey, there's NFL football tonight. Hall of Fame game, preseason, if you want to watch football.
Not the same.
Tonight.
College football.
You're right. You're right.
Starts
you're
in
right.
August, baby.
We talk about that and more tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.